for blessings, we pray for peace, comfort for family, protection while we sleep. We pray for healing, for prosperity. We pray for your mighty hand to ease our suffering. And all the while you hear each spoken need, yet love us way too much to give us lesser things. 'Cause what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? What if trials of this life are your mercies in disguise? We pray for wisdom, your voice to hear. We cry in anger when we cannot feel you near. We doubt your goodness, we doubt your love, as if every promise from your word is not enough. And all the while you hear each desperate plea, longing we'd have faith to believe. 'Cause what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? What if trials of this life are your mercies in disguise? When friends betray storms, my darkest nights, are your mercies in disguise? What if these trials are God's mercies in disguise?
Turn to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. We'll start in verse number 41, Luke chapter 2 and verse 41. We're going to look at a story. Of course, Luke chapter 2, we understand that that's the Christmas story, but after the Christmas story, it gets into a story of Jesus when he was in his youth. And we're going to look at when Jesus' family lost him. They lost Jesus. By the way, as a parent, how many of you have ever lost sight of a child, right? Remember Christmas, I think it was 2000, my mother-in-law was flying in. Of course, she always picked nice days to fly in. She flew in on Christmas Day. And so we had this big 15-passenger van. I get all the kids, myself, my brother-in-law and his kids, I think. So we're going to go to the airport and pick up my mother-in-law. That was back before 9/11 when you could go to the gate. Remember those days? So we're going to go to the gate now. I was carrying Jack. Jack was about 3. All the kids are around, so we had to go through security. And the security guy goes, hey, you can't hold this kid, put him down. So, you know, there was a whole bunch of us. I put Jack down, and we all go through the line, and we walk out to the gate. We're waiting for my mother-in-law. Now, Jack, when he was three, he loved airplanes. I mean, he was loved airplanes. I mean, he would, so I'm looking like, hey, who has Jack? You know, he's probably, we had no idea where he was. So went all the way back to where the security was. The security guy is holding Jack. Now, give him credit, he wasn't crying. So I got Jack, and I'm walking. He goes, hey, Dad, don't lost me. All right, so I won't lost you again, all right? But we've been through that. We've lost a child. Now, some of them, you say, now, how many of you would like to lose a child? Yeah, different story there. Okay, good. Luke chapter 2, verse 41. We're going to see that this happens with Jesus. Now, his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the Feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. It's Passover time, so they're going. They're fulfilling their responsibility. They're going for the peace, for Passover. And when they had fulfilled the days, they're done. It's time to go home. As they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it. And by the way, listen to the words carefully in the scriptures, because Joseph was not Jesus' dad. Now, if you have an NIV or some of the others, it'll say things like that, which is actually blasphemous. So Jesus was born of a virgin. But they, verse 44, supposing him to have been in the company, he's with everybody else, they went a day's journey. And they sought him among their kinfolk and their acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back to Jerusalem seeking him. Hey, we can't find him. We better go back to Jerusalem. And when they found him not, they turned back to Jerusalem seeking him. Verse 46, and it came to pass after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understandings and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? What's going on? What are you doing? Thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Wist you not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto him. They didn't get it. Now time would happen. They would eventually, I believe, get it. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom, in stature, and in favor with God and man. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for loving us. We come to your word this morning, and we pray that as we take a few minutes to look, that you would teach us something out of this story so that we do not lose sight of you in our life. It's so easy to lose you, Jesus. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to have our focus on you. And if our focus has strayed, I pray you'd help us to turn our focus back on you. Bless that said, what's said this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. We're going to talk this morning about don't lose Jesus. So how do you lose Jesus? People lose Jesus all the time. Now, we don't physically lose him. Jesus is always here. His presence is everywhere. But we lose his presence in our life. I think you would be shocked at the places where we lose him. In the story here, we saw that Joseph and Mary were going to the Passover. As they leave to go home, they realize after a day that Jesus is not with him. They have lost him. It would seem odd that someone would lose their child. Now, you're going to think we're bad parents. Jack, that's not the only time we've lost our child. I remember one time we were at the old building, And so I was on Pacific, and there was a family I would pick up and bring to church and back every Sunday. So my wife would take the kids, and so I took them, and I went down over here. Usually I would get on the freeway and go home this way off the 710. But for some reason that Sunday, I came back up Pacific, was going to get on the 405. As I'm driving by the church, everybody's gone except for Miss Deborah, Brother Two, or one of our missionaries. His wife was there, and there was Hannah playing in the sandbox. She was about 4 or 5. And so I pull over and say, and Deborah's like, I was going home. And I was one of the last ones out of the building. I come out of here, and there's Hannah playing by herself in the sandbox. So I got on the cell phone, you know, like, hey, Alma, do you, you got, all, yeah, I'm done paying. You got all the kids? Yeah, I got everybody. You got everybody? She goes, well, no, I don't have Hannah. I'm like, well, where is she? Like, is she with you? I lied. No, you know I never take the kids home. Oh, man, where is she? She's with me, okay? You left her at the church by herself. By the way, I not that we don't want Hannah, but maybe we don't. We had a big 4th of July service one time after Sunday night. We were going up to Signal Hill to see the fireworks. My wife and I and a bunch of people went. We're all up at the top of the hill having a great time. And then we see people walking up the hill from our church, and guess who's with them? Hannah. It's like, you left her again. I wish that kid would get the memo and just get out of here. No, just kidding. Okay. That's about it. We typically keep track of our kids most of the time. I figure, you know, my wife, she could have more. Now, when we lose our kids, it's like we didn't realize it until finally we're looking around. Hey, wait, where is that kid? We lost Jack at the airport. It's like everybody's having a good time. It's like, I'm sure Jack's watching the airplane. Hey, where is he? You have him? No, he's gone. Now, in our life spiritually, we lose sight of Christ. And by the way, Joseph and Mary did not lose sight of Jesus as they were living an openly rebellious life, if you think about it. They were going to the Passover. They were fulfilling their responsibility. They even took their family with them to go to the Passover, and they're just on their way home, and lo and behold, a day later, it's like Jesus is gone. Now, let me just say this. Many Christians, if not, I dare say, even a majority sometimes, we lose sight of Christ. We lose Jesus even though we're doing the right things. By the way, it's Christmas time. Jesus' birthday. Can I just tell you something? You were not thinking about Jesus on Black Friday. You were thinking about how can I get in front of that person to buy that 215-inch television. Okay, that's on sale. There's one of them, by the way. You're not getting there. But that's how we are. We lose focus sometimes of the things that ought to stay a focus in our life. The longer you're saved, the more accustomed you get to being a Christian, the more apt we are to start losing him in our life, to lose his presence. So I want to look at two things this morning briefly. I want to look at the reasons we lose Jesus, and I want to show you the recipe for getting him back. Let me give you some of the reasons we lose Jesus. By the way, let me say this. If you are living a life of open rebellion to God, in other words, there is something going on in your life, you're sinning, you're doing something wrong, and you know it's wrong, and you're still choosing to do it, don't listen to all these things I'm telling you. That's where you need to start right there. Deal with that sin in your life. Deal with it if God's dealing with you. Now, but let me give you some reasons. First of all, the first reason I would give you is fulfilling. Verse 43 says, and when they had fulfilled the days, they were there the amount of time they were supposed to be there. They were doing exactly what they were supposed to be doing. And yet, in their obedience, they lost Jesus. Now, what does that mean for us? You know, we lose Jesus when our obedience becomes nothing more than just almost like a to-do list. I just do what I'm supposed to do. There's no love behind it. There's no meaning behind it. We lose focus of why we're doing the things that we are supposed to be doing. We just do them. When we lose Jesus, you can tell, because the obedience you do, it becomes drudgery. It becomes, there's no joy in it at all. You come to church because I'm supposed to come to church. I give my money because I'm supposed to give my money. I do my Bible reading because I'm supposed to do my Bible reading. And there's no joy in it. We don't get anything out of it. That's a sign we've lost sight of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the reason we do all those things ought to be out of a heart of, I love Jesus Christ. That's why I do these things. And we're not talking about giving, but what does the Bible tell us? God loves a what kind of giver? A cheerful giver, a joyous giver, someone that does it. Look, I put my check in the offering plate. And when I write that check out, I try to purposely, in my mind, stop and think, I'm not just doing this because I want God's blessing on my finances. I'm not just doing this because of blah, blah, blah. This is a gift for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why I'm writing it out. We have to purposely think that way. Think of it as you would a dating relationship or a courtship relationship. What happens in a courtship relationship? You know, you met that person, and all of a sudden, it's like, there's an interest there. And you can't wait till the next time you get to be with them. You can't wait till the next time you get to sit down and have that conversation back and forth. And then as the relationship progresses, you can't wait until you can do things for them. Buy little gifts here and there. Do something nice for them. By the way, all those have parallels in church, right? We can't wait to be to church, to be with God's people, to learn about the Lord, to sing songs about Him. We can't wait for that opportunity God gives us to give. We can't wait for that opportunity to spend time reading His Word so He is speaking to us, and we spend that time in prayer. That is us speaking to Him. But what happens, it happens in marriage relationships and in friendships. The longer they go, the easier it is to get away from that. So how do we lose Jesus? Sometimes we lose Jesus in the midst of doing the things we're supposed to do. By the way, let me say this. It shouldn't be that way. Serving God is great. Serving Jesus is wonderful. And if you have backed off of that, that's a sign that maybe you've lost sight of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we lose Him even though sometimes we are fulfilling. Also, I want you to notice next that they lost Him in the crowd. But they, supposing Him to have been in the company, they just, look, when these groups of people would go to Jerusalem for the Passover, you realize they would travel together. Maybe there was a family, and all their extended family would get together. Probably people from the village, and they were all together, and they all knew each other, and they would travel there. And so now they're all traveling back in a big band together. They all know each other. And so his family's like, he's around here somewhere. We know he's just with the group. He has to be with the group, doesn't he? Until they realized that He wasn't. You realize that one of the greatest places we can lose Jesus is at church. You say, well, Jesus must be at church, right? I hope He's here. If not, we're wasting our time. What does the Bible tell us? In Matthew, it tells us, for where two or three are gathered together in My name, there am I in the midst. I hope Jesus is here, and I'm pretty sure He's around here with us. And He's in some of us. But never assume just because you're in a group with people and you're with a crowd of people that love Jesus that He is present in your life. That's like me thinking just because you put a car in a garage means that the car runs. It must run because it's in the garage. That's where cars go. Not if there's something wrong with it. You see, we come to church. Coming to church doesn't solve all of our problems. Coming to church helps us to find answers so that we can solve all of our problems. Some people are satisfied with their life with just being to church. Well, I go to church on Sunday morning. God got what He gets. Try that in your relationship. Hey, honey, I'll be home Monday, but that's the only time you get. I'll tell you what. I'll see you also on Thursday night. That's not going to go over very well. That's a relationship. It's an all-the-time thing. And church is very important in the Christian life, but it's not everything if you do not have a personal relationship with Him. Church is vital in your Christian life. And by the way, I'm all for it. Let me just say this. I've never met a dynamic Christian that doesn't go to church. That says, well, I love Jesus, but I just stay home. I don't need church. You'll never find a dynamic Christian like that, never. Church is vital in a Christian's life. But you never substitute church for a personal relationship with Christ. You see, those two relationships add to each other. They're not a substitute for one another. And so you can lose Jesus Christ even though you come to church. Is He real in your life? Another key element where we would lose our Lord Jesus Christ is in the area of time. Look at verse 44. But they, supposing Him to have been in the company, they thought He was there, went a day's journey. They had been traveling for a whole day before they even noticed that He was gone. I mean, you would have thought that they would have ate together sometime during that day. You would have thought that they would have at least wanted to touch base with Him sometime during that day. But as that distance of time went on, they finally realized he wasn't there. Let me just tell you this. If we're erratic in our time with God, we're going to lose Jesus Christ. We get erratic. We don't personally read our Bibles. We don't personally spend time with him. We're erratic in our church attendance. Now, coming to church, as I just mentioned, is not the catch-all, but let me just tell you something. It's an important piece. And by the way, let me just say, we're in a danger time. Not a danger time, but we're in a slippery place during the holidays. People will get really off in what they're doing. Your schedule gets off. See, we are naturally creatures of habit. And sometimes when our schedule is a little different, if we're not careful, we'll let that affect spiritual things. Sometimes our problem isn't something physical. It's a spiritual thing because it's just some little small physical thing that gets in our way. Many weeks ago, we talked about Elijah. You know what his problem was? He needed to sleep correctly. He needed to eat right. He needed to get some rest. But we get off schedule, and we allow that schedule to push out the really important things in our life. By the way, that can happen in your job. You get to working so much and doing all those things that you push out the important things of life, and before you realize it, you've lost those important things in your life because you haven't scheduled your time correctly. But it was a matter of time. Listen, if Jesus is a priority in your life, that means he'll get time in your life. Something is not a priority in life just because we get up and we yell and scream and say, I believe in this, and that's the priority in my life. The priority in your life comes down to, do you spend time on it? And so our time gets all out of whack. When you look at your life, you ought to take those things that are most important and put those in your schedule. I don't have to worry where I'm going to be next Sunday morning. I'm going to be in church. I don't have to worry where I'm going to be next Thursday night. I'm going to be at church. And by the way, it's been that way for many years. Why? Because that's a priority to me. There are things I do in my life and that I don't have to worry about if they're going to get done. They're a priority to me, and so I'm going to give time to them. Now, there are other things in my life that aren't a priority that I'll give some time to, but those are after all the things that are a priority are taken care of. By the way, you don't have to worry about whether you're going to eat sometime today. You eat because it's a priority in your life. Like, well, are we going to pray about, I just don't have time to eat today. I haven't had time to eat last week. Really? No, you find time. It's a priority. It's a necessity. It's a need. And because it is, you make time for it. And so let's make sure in our time that we give Jesus his time, or else you know what happens? We lose him. I want you to notice also another reason he lost him is because of placement. Look at verse 44 again. And they sought him among his kinfolk and acquaintance. Can I just tell you something? He wasn't there. They were searching in the wrong place. And so they finally headed back to Jerusalem. Here's something that's very dangerous. As a Christian, when we start to lose sight of Christ and he starts to, in a real tangible way, slip out of our life, there are a lot of false substitutes that are sitting there ready to take his place. It amazes me what people will spend their lives on. Things that are of no value. And that's their whole life. Why? As individuals, as human beings, we typically want to have something we're living for. We want to have some type of purpose. And so if our purpose is not tied up in Christ, we'll tie it up in all kinds of things. Some people find their identity in their sports team. Yeah, you Raider fans, I'm praying for you. I like sports. I like all the local teams, but except for the Rams. I still buy into the Rams, even though they left us. They divorced us, but I'm still in love. Broke my heart. We have a long-distance relationship. Hey, they stink, and they have stink for many. They have stunk for many years. But you know what? My identity is not wrapped up in the Rams. No, I'll follow them. I'll keep up. But you know what? Not very closely. They stink. Tomorrow night, we're going with some of the guys. We're going to the hockey game. I like hockey. I like the Ducks. I like the Kings. But my identity, look, you're not going to see me on television with my shirt off and a big orange chest with a black D on it. Okay? Now, Raul will do that. Daniel will do that. I'm not doing it. We'll have a good time, and they'll win, of course. That's not my identity in life. But you know people, that is their whole identity in life. I remember, I heard of a fan, a USC fan. The guy was like 90-something. He hadn't missed a game in his life until he died. Now he's missing all of them. Okay? I don't want to die, and I don't want to put on my tombstone. What was his identity in his life? I went to every single USC home game. Whoa, that's good. That's big. But we put our identity in a sports team. By the way, we're all looking for something to fulfill our lives. Only God can fulfill our lives. But see, we're always looking for a counterfeit. We get our identity in our jobs. And by the way, your job ought to be important. If you're there and you're working, you ought to be the best worker and employee you can be. It's not your whole life. Okay? The Lord's your life, your family, and everything else. Some people get their identity in money. You know, I have to wear a certain brand of shoe. You know, I don't shop at Target. I don't do this, and I gotta have this, and I gotta have this. You know, I gotta have this $800 Gucci bag. Listen, go to Cambodia, get the same thing for $5. Now you better take care of it because it's gonna start falling apart really fast. But it'll say Gucci. My daughter got me a Gucci bag for my laptop. Man, it started falling apart quickly. And it looked kind of feminine too. So. But because she bought it for me, I didn't want to offend her. I used it. Okay, I was glad when it fell apart. But we get into all these things. What is your passion in life? I mean, that number one consuming thing. When you lose sight of Jesus, you'll fill it with something that's worthless. We're looking for Jesus in the wrong place. And then the last thing, problem is, was in dealing. Verse 48, what do I mean? And his mother said unto him, Jesus, they find him and says, why hast thou thus dealt with us? She blamed Jesus. What'd you do that for? Hey, if you lose Jesus, can I just tell you something? It isn't his fault. You say, would anybody really blame God? Go back to the Garden of Eden. God lined them all up. All right, you sinned, let's get the story. Eve, we'll start with you. Because after all, you're the one that ruined mankind. Eve, it's always the woman's fault. We get that. That's script on it. Eve, what's the problem? The devil. The devil made me do it. Now, she had a spiritual reason. Let's give her a little credit. God's like, most of us, I don't understand women, so we'll move on to the man. Goes to the man. All right, what's your story, Adam? Adam's like, God, it was the woman. Bingo. I'm sorry. But wait a minute. What was the next phrase? He goes, by the way, you know where she came from? I took a nap one day. I woke up and bingo, there she was. Hey, wait a minute. Didn't you give her to me after all? Who's he blaming? God. Don't we do that all the time? Well, you know, Lord, if I wasn't in this situation, that wouldn't have happened. It's not God's fault. It's never Jesus' fault. If you don't feel his presence in his life and we start to get cold and distant, it has nothing to do with God. By the way, we say we lost him. He hadn't moved. We'll get to that in a minute. But it's in dealing. Don't play the blame. Don't ever play the blame game. Things happen in people's life and I've met people and they walk away from God and they get spiritually bitter. And they want to point their finger in God's face and say, it's his fault. It's not God's fault. God doesn't owe us any explanation for anything that he does. He doesn't. Why? I gotta know. You don't owe it to us. Now, we will understand sometime in our life. It may take eternity, but we'll understand. So that's the reasons. Now, let me give you the recipe to find him. By the way, Jesus is a lot easier to find than Waldo, amen? By the way, my son told me, why does Waldo wear stripes? So he won't be spotted. Thanks for coming. All right. I'll be here all week. All right. How do we find Jesus? First of all, we have to seek for him. Verse 45, and when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. I want you to notice, they're going for a day's journey. Everything's fine. He's probably hanging out with somebody. He probably had lunch with somebody else. You know, they're not really concerned. And then after a day, he's probably hanging out with the kin folks. Let me go check them out. And then they're just looking for him. There's no urgency there. And then when he's not with anybody in the group, now they're seeking him. Now there's some urgency to it. By the way, they didn't see him for 3 days. You imagine if you lost one of your children? Man, whenever I get in the car, especially like we're driving to Washington and we got all the kids in the car and there's like a million of them. We stop somewhere, maybe in the middle of the night, and then, you know, we use the restroom. I fill gas. I get another 75 gallons of coffee. And I get in the car and I do a little mental note to check, okay? Now, I really don't care about the older ones. I'm like, hey, where's Emily? Okay, I know the older ones, I check on them. But, you know, they could give a cell phone number if they get lost. But it's like, where's the littler ones? I just do a little mental head. Are they all here? I would hate to lose one of my kids like that, except for Hannah. We're fine with her. I would hate to lose my kids. I would be like, we got to go find them. Seek. You know how you find God? It's very easy. You seek him. God's not hiding from you. It's not a hide and seek. God says if we seek for him, he'll make sure that he is found. We seek. Isaiah 55 verse 6 says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. The Bible principle is seek to find, desire to get. Isaiah 44:3, for I will pour water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. God says, you know who gets the water? The one who wants it, who needs it. The reason we don't have that relationship with God is because we're not seeking it. Let me say this. You are as close to God as you want to be. Huh? Isn't that what James tells us? If I take a step for God, what does he do? Draw nigh to God and he will what? Yeah. It's like that love story. You know, you see the little video, they're running through a field, the guy's running and the girl's running toward each other. If he only realized it's nothing more than a train wreck. Just kidding. You know, they're like, oh, they're running towards each other. We're so in love. Well, that's kind of how it is with Jesus, minus the goofy looks on the face. You know, we take a step to draw closer to Jesus. And you know what he does? He takes a step to draw closer to us. If we're drawing nigh to him, he's getting closer to us. You see, he wants to be close. But if we don't want to be close to him, we won't be. Jeremiah 29:13, and ye shall seek me and find me when you shall search with me with all your heart. It's not that hard. If God wants to have a relationship with you, it's on us. So we have to seek him. Second of all, the recipe to find Jesus, look at the sitting. Verse 46, and it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors. You know where they found him in Jerusalem? They found him where they left him. Right? Now, guys, we typically don't lose stuff. Right? Guys, we have what we call a pile. How many know what I'm talking about? Okay? We go home, keys. Oh, I don't have any cash. If I have some, you know, we put our wallet there, you know, blah, blah, blah. Get the pay. Everything's in a pile. Cell phone. There we go. Cell phone right there. There it is. We get up in the morning. We're getting ready to go. What do? Here we go. We get, all right, hey, time to go. Got the pants on. We're dressed. Got the thing. We get the wallet. And there's no money in it, by the way. And there it is. Now, women, here's what you do. You walk by and you take your keys, and wherever you walk by, it's like, you know, hey, right there, that's all right. Now, my wife hates to hear this. I know she hates to hear it because she's explained it to me. I lost my glasses. I'm like, where is your designated spot to put them? Okay, that goes over like a screen door in a submarine. Okay, are you with me? But I know where her glasses are every time she loses them. I know exactly where they are. They're right where she put them. Now that's the issue right there. By the way, one of these days, they're going to have Wi-Fi chips in everything. Okay? I remember one time I was sitting at the house, and we had a chair next to the piano. And I'm looking for my iPad. I'm like, where's my iPad? I know I just had it, because I usually put everything right where it goes. And so I got my phone, and I find my iPad. You know, a little, and it's like, doot, doot, doot. It's in this room right here. It was like 1 foot. It was on the piano right next to me. I'm like, that was stupid. It was right there. But it was right where I left it. You know where Jesus is? Examine your life. Where did you lose him? There are many areas. Did you lose him in some area of life where you used to be obedient and now you're choosing purposely to be disobedient? You might want to go back there and correct that, and you'll find him right there. Did you lose him? See, you used to spend time with him. Now you don't spend any more time with him, and he's distant. Can I just tell you something? Go sit down and pick up your Bible. He's right there. Is that where you lost him? You see, you got to think through all these things. What is going on in my life? What did I stop doing? Maybe you used to be faithful to church and you used to try to do the four to first thing and you were coming and things were great and now you're skipping here and there. You're being sporadic. You come every now and then. You know what? You might want to find Jesus right there in your church attendance. Maybe you used to serve him somewhere. I used to work in the nursery. I used to do this, but I backed out of it. I don't do that anymore. And you don't do anything else. You didn't move. You didn't say, well, I'm not serving him. I'm not doing that, but I have another job I'm serving. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you used to do something, and now you don't do anything. He might be waiting for you right there. Maybe it's in some relationship. Some person or individual has come into your life, and you notice that when you're around that person, things don't go like they used to go. Maybe that relationship is where you lost Jesus. I don't know. Revelation chapter 2, verses 4 to 5, it says, nevertheless, talking to the church of Ephesus, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. This church was on fire. They loved Jesus. And now he says, I got something against you. You don't love me like you used to love me. So what does he tell them to do to correct it? He says, remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, remember, and then repent. And then he tells them to redo and do the first works. Get back to doing what you were doing before. It's not that hard. You'll find Jesus typically where you left him. I got to hurry. We also find him in sorrow. What do I mean by sorrow? They say, in verse 48, they said, behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. You know a sign that you've lost Jesus? You lost that joy. You lost that joy. Brother Goddard preached from Philippians on Thursday night. And that book of Philippians, man, everything was encouraging. This, that, the other, rejoice, all of that, go all this stuff. Hey, he wrote it from prison. He's in prison encouraging the church at Philippi. He's not there like, brother, you know how bad it is to be here? Y'all ought to be, come get, you know, let's get a, you know, send me a cake with a file in it. No. He's like, hey, Jesus is good. Rejoice in the Lord. Why? Because it's not dependent on circumstances. Circumstances change, we know it, but that relationship with God keeps that joy flowing. And if you've lost that joy, it's God's signal to you that something is wrong. If he commands us to be joyful and we no longer have that joy in our Christian life, God's saying, hey, something's wrong here. Let's get it corrected. Let's get it corrected. Find that joy again. Church ought to be joyful. And I get it. Most of us, the first Noel, I get that. I can't sing either. Thank you, John. Sing in my heart. But you know what? It's a blessing to hear the songs and to sing. By the way, when we congregational sing, we're not trying you out for the choir. All right? And all of us singing together can muffle your bad singing. But man, by the way, if you've ever looked through the Christmas songs, there's a lot of heavy doctrine in there. There's a lot of good stuff in there. Listen to the song. Enjoy church. That was a great song Mallory sang. I love that song. Enjoy it. Have joy. Get your joy back. And then the last thing is this, serving. Jesus said, hey, don't you know I got to be about my Father's business? And we already mentioned it. Get back to serving the Lord. Get back to making the purpose of your life fulfilling His purpose on this earth. We get wrapped up in our own thing. The Bible calls that selfishness, by the way. We get so wrapped up in our own thing that we have no time for His thing. And when we have no time for His thing, He is no longer, that does not mean He's going to be a part of our thing. We're losing Him. Now, how are you this morning? Are you close to God? Do you feel like, you know, I used to be closer to Him? By the way, this is a commercial, it's free. Some of you that grew up in our church and you grew up in our Christian school and now you're adults and you're out, you got your jobs, you have this, and you're saying, well, you know, yeah, but that's just because I was a teenager. You know, I didn't have the things that, hey. You ought not have less joy now in serving God than you did when you were a teenager. That isn't just a teenage thing. It's a life thing. Well, you know, I was naive then. I wasn't. Hey, quit being. Well, get naive and get some joy. Get naive and get some purpose in your life. Say, well, I'm not going to be, you know, God's not going to use me in full time. It doesn't matter. I don't care if you're a lawyer. Serve God and be a good lawyer. Oh, wait a minute. That's not possible. Oh, yeah, David Gibbs. Okay. I don't care what you're doing in your life. Man, serving the Lord is great. And if it's not great in your life, because Jesus is off to the side. Hey, why don't we go find Him? I don't care where you're at in your life. It's better if Jesus is with you and you're with Him. Let's all stand together, every head bowed, every eye closed.